Welcome to the Don't Panic Podcast. I'm Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just want to remind our listeners, nothing you're about to hear is true. If you're joining us on RFI.fm, congratulations, you found us. Make sure you stick around for the next hour while you're waiting for the Do It Indie Radio Hour. If you're not listening to us on RFI.fm, welcome to the 21st century, where you can listen to stuff anytime you want. Speaking of the 21st century, Wednesday was Douglas Adams' birthday.
Right.
You know what always confuses me? So it is, that is the right way to say it, right? Douglas Adams' is.
Yes, yes, or is it is.
Because you put the apostrophe after the S.
Right.
But you don't put another S.
No, you do not.
So maybe you just say Douglas Adams' birthday. Anyway,
I think it's.
I won't do that annoying thing.
I think both of them. I'll only do about
10 minutes on the apostrophe after the S, and then we can get on with the podcast, right?
Right, right.
But seriously, those of you who know where the phrase don't panic comes from, well, you are, of course, you're celebrating Douglas Adams' birthday as well.
Right.
Of course, author of the legendary Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And, you know, I'm just going to assume everybody's read it. Because when I first went to college, you know, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I went to Rose Holman Institute of Technology, or as some people call it, Rose Poly School for Boys. It was all male in the armpit of America, as Steve Martin called it, Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was all engineering, science, and math. All right. So that kind of, I don't want to stereotype here, but that kind of sets your image of the student body. Hmm. One of my first nights there, I'm sitting around with these guys in the dorm, and like we all gathered in one guy's room, and we're sitting around, and somebody said something that reminded me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so I thought I'd chime in. But I didn't want to make a reference that nobody got, right?
So I, silly boy.
I queried the group. I said, hey, that's funny. That reminds me. Hey, have you guys read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? And the room got quiet. Like silence. And everybody, whatever they were doing, whether they were dipping the chips into the French onion dip or, you know, pouring another Everclear and orange juice, they all stopped and looked at me. And one guy finally spoke. It was the guy with the big afro, like the Weird Al Yankovic afro and the big mustache. He was wearing sweatpants pulled up way too high and a t-shirt tucked into his sweatpants.
Oh, that's great.
And long gym socks. And he looks at me and he goes, if we hadn't read it, if anybody in this room had not read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, we would be considered weird. I was like, okay then.
That's right.
I was like, finally, my people.
That's right. Yeah, that's funny.
So from now on, I'm just going to assume everybody's read it. If they haven't, I'm going to put it on their list of things that they need to do.
Yeah.
I'll call it their nerd list.
Yeah, put it on their homework if they haven't already. Put it on their homework.
It's on their homework. It's on their the same list that has Reservoir Dogs and Office Space.
And Pootie Tang.
And Pootie Tang. Of course, Pootie Tang. Pootie Tang, Pootie Tang.
Go ahead. I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Something was funny.
No, damn. We'll get back to it.
Hey, don't you mess with me. I'll stop recording for 40 minutes.
Wouldn't dream of it. No, that caused me less frustration than your work rant episode. So it was not nearly as frustrating.
Oh, right. Because we had the caller.
Yeah.
We had the caller that we had to take out.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
well, we'll have callers at some point.
Right. Okay, it's so just, let's just assume there's one or two people that haven't that have no idea what we're talking about when we're talking about The Hitchhiker's Guide.
All right.
How would you sum it up in like 25 words or less for our listeners who are going to run out and buy the book?
I think I would say that's a great question, actually. And I think I would say, imagine a world without Wikipedia. And then imagine that somebody writes a book about Wikipedia, except it covers the entire known universe.
Except for the word sloopily.
Sloopily. I don't remember that. What was that one?
That was why one of the copies became defunct or something, because it didn't have the word sloopily in it, which meant like the act of acting sloopy. Yeah.
I like that. Mm. No, it's, you know, it's this dude, Earthling, that he finds out his best friend is actually a universe or a galaxy traveling alien.
Mm-hmm.
He's been posing as a human, and he gets wind of the fact that Earth is about to be destroyed. So, you know, being a good alien, good hitchhiking alien, he says, let's hitchhike and get off this planet before they destroy it. And he gets out his electronic thumb and, you know, is able to get a ride. And then once he gets a ride, he takes his friend Arthur Dent,
right,
is the Earthling, and Ford Prefect is the alien,
right,
who looks like a human.
Right.
And they get their ride, and then the next thing you know, they're traipsing all over the universe hitchhiking. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is actually a book in the book. And emblazoned on the front, well, it's for every hitchhiker, and it's a guide to the galaxy. And there are a number of correspondents. Not anybody can edit it, but any of the correspondents can edit it, and it immediately is uploaded onto the sub-ether, which is like the internet, only faster, and covers more ground.
yeah, a little bit.
And it just gives the hitchhikers, like, it's, you know, like those books back in the 80s that talked about how to travel across the United States on $5 a day.
Well, that's
kind of like those.
That's actually where the whole thing came from. I'd seen an interview with Douglas Adams, you know, back in the 80s, I think. And he'd said that he had read one of these how to backpack across England for, you know, £5 or whatever. And it, to his experience, it didn't work. You know, it was impossible to do what they said you could get away with for next to nothing. So it kind of came as a rebuttal from that, inspired by that.
Perfect. My favorite part is emblazoned on the front cover are the words, "Don't panic."
Yes. And so if anybody doesn't know where our title comes from, spoiler, that's where it comes from.
Spoiler. Don't panic.
That's right.
And there are so many great one-liners. I mean, one of the greatest things about that book is every time I read it, I'm reminded of some of the greatest one-liners.
Yeah. It's loaded with them.
And two-liners.
Yeah.
There's some three-liners, even. In fact, there's a couple of, and if you've been listening to the show, you know what I'm about to say. There are a few six-liners. And a few half-dozen-liners.
And then
same thing.
We also can't neglect the fact that it's officially a five-book trilogy. Don't forget, it's the first issue in a five-book trilogy.
I will agree with you on that. It is a five-book trilogy. Oh, I'll finish one thought, and then I'll start another one.
Okay. That's a novel.
It is a five-book trilogy.
Novel approach.
Somebody, and I don't know the details, I've read the book, it's called And Another Thing, and it was published in 2009, fully 18 years, no, 17 years after the last after the fifth book in the trilogy was written. Mm-hmm. 18 years later, someone wrote a sixth book and claims that it's the sixth in the trilogy. Well, Douglas Adams died in 2001, tragically.
Yes.
And I have a weird disease.
Yeah.
We should talk about that in a minute,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I'll finish this thought, and then I'll finish the next one, and then I'll start a new one.
I can only write so fast.
And then at some point,
keep track.
At some point, you'll get to talk.
Oh, that's fine.
That's the point at which most of our listeners are going, could that be right now, please? Which reminds me, I met a guy at a bar the other day that couldn't talk. He could hear perfectly, but he couldn't talk. Oh, my God, you have competition for my best friend now. Can you imagine anything better for a guy like me? Oh, you can hear, but you can't talk? Well, you just sit right there. Don't feel bad.
You sit down.
Don't wear out your writing hand.
That's right. You sit down, and I'll buy you a drink and talk to you all night.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him all kinds of shit. You know?
All you have to do is nod and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You can laugh,
silently,
right?
Though. I know
you can't
laugh,
but you can laugh.
He'd be like a mime. Anyway.
Oh, man. That's one of those tangents I shouldn't have gone down. Because I thought, well, if there's a dead end, I'll just turn around and go back to where I came. But I lost my way. I don't know how to get back to where I was.
I couldn't write it down fast enough.
Trilogy.
Yes.
2009.
Weird disease.
Weird disease.
Yeah, you said that Douglas Adams died of a weird disease. So we got that
he
one.
He did.
Right.
He did. Oh, I had a minor point to make, which was when you first told me that it was a four-book trilogy,
mm-hmm.
I think we were like, I don't know, 15, 17, I don't know. I was so book smart, but like common sense, not so smart, that I didn't get that it was a joke because
oh.
I had never heard the word trilogy before.
Really?
And so, well, I had heard the word, but I never thought about what it mm-hmm. meant. So I just assumed trilogy meant a series of something.
Right, right.
However many would be in the series. And to this day, I bet you've been wondering why I didn't laugh when you said that. Well, now you know.
Now I know.
At that time, it was a four-book trilogy.
Right. Yes.
Because it was 92 before the fifth came out. So the disease, what? I'm trying to remember this now. This shows how much research we do before we do the
right.
show.
We could be really.
Wasn't it he couldn't talk? Oh, that's how I got on the guy that couldn't
talk.
Yeah,
that was the guy in the bar
wasn't
you
it?
Met.
Right, but wasn't Douglas Adams' disease like he progressively, like he would just try to talk, but it would come out gibberish?
He lost his
And then eventually he just.
He lost his babble fish, is what happened. Fell out of his ear.
Well, maybe I lost my babble fish.
Or that could be. Or we could pretend, we could act like we're really smart and pause here for a second and look it up and then come back. So it looks like we know what we're talking about.
By the way, I better leave some silence in case you want to do that. Okay,
yeah.
Wait, ready? Go. Okay, 3, 2, 1. All right. So the disease was...
we were supposed to look...
Photophilia. Oh, wait, I was supposed to look it
yes.
up during that pause.
Yes, that was the idea.
Shit. Oh, well, I'll just make some
okay.
shit up. The babblefish is interesting, too, because you know how they talk about, like, Star Trek, and every once in a while somebody will talk about the things that Star Trek had that have actually come to fruition?
Yeah.
Well, think about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Babblefish.
Yep.
Well, one of the first internet translating sites was called Babblefish.
I've used it a lot.
Now you have Google Translate, and it's to the point on some sites, and I'm sure this may be very common, you can speak whatever phrase you want translated,
mm-hmm.
and it'll speak back
right.
to you the translation.
Yeah, and even...
So we're only a few decades away from that being like real
so
time. Right?
What you're saying is we're only a few decades away from the world coming to an end to make room for an intergalactic highway.
I'm not sure, but a way that you could confirm or debunk that would be to go to Alpha Centauri, the nearest star and intergalactic office, and The paperwork should be on file there for review.
The two people that haven't read the book aren't laughing.
Right. So the Babel fish, in case you haven't read it, is this little fish that proves that God does not exist. And you stick it in your ear, and it knows every language. Or I don't know if it knows every language, but any language that it hears, it immediately translates into your native language,
right,
or the language you understand, regardless of what language that is.
Right.
Some would call it, I don't know, a plot device, like to keep assholes from asking how were they able to travel the whole galaxy and talk to people? How did they possibly know what they were saying? And maybe he's just like, ah, fuck it, babble fish.
Right. Right. Well,
but if you think about it,
I'm thinking,
you can imagine a device, I mean, similar to one of those Bluetooth thingies that you stick in your ear.
Yeah.
That would hear at least known languages and translate it.
Right.
I don't know how you do unknown languages.
Them Bluetooth things piss me off, because I'll be like standing in line at the grocery store and think someone's talking to me, and I'll go like, what? And then they turn and it's like, oh, you have one of those annoying things.
Like that commercial, I've always loved you. Brad, I've always loved you too. Huh? What?
Yeah, that happens in real life.
I have one of those.
Oh, do you?
I have one of those, and it works really great. I've had those earbuds for the iPhone with the little microphone on the in the cord.
Mm-hmm.
Those things work okay, but I bought like an expensive one of those things, because if you buy an inexpensive one of those things you stick in your ear, people can't really hear you. Babel fish would be a Babel would be an appropriate name for what it does. But I bought like an expensive one, because I do a lot of conference calls. I'm like, you know, for work, I'm always on the phone. In the car, I'm on the phone. Just lots of being on the phone.
Right.
So I bought a pretty expensive one, and it works great. But I like to, every once in a while, I like to walk around with it in my ear and just fuck with people. Like, just,
oh, that would
you
be
know, turn the other ear to them and say something like, oh, my God, why would you charge that much for a tamale? And they'll be like, what? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the phone. What?
Yeah. Or just cuss somebody a blue streak and then like, what? Like, what'd you say? Oh, I'm sorry, dude. I'm on the phone. I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Anyway, you know what I didn't cut out
what?
From last
What's
week?
That?
Oh, sometimes I forget it's not just you and me talking. Oh. I was just going to be like, he'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I had to, last week's show was an hour and 9 minutes. I had to cut 9 minutes out so we could fit within the Radio Free Indy time slot, mm-hmm. which is 1 hour. And I cut out a pretty good part. Maybe that could be our DP. No, that doesn't make any sense. Never mind. Anyway, what I did not cut out is you saying, I'd fuck Aunt B.
That wasn't supposed to be in the show either, but I'm like, man, fuck it. I'm going to run with it, because, you know, we were having so many difficulties with that episode that I'm just like, I got to put something in here. And it all just flowed so well. But, man, we'll just leave it in there. Turns out
90% of our show is not supposed to be in the show.
That's right. I guess it's not actually Aunt B. But then
what?
Yeah, apparently the picture isn't her, but I saw another picture of a woman who actually was Aunt B, and it kind of looks like her. But still, in all, yeah, I would still have relations with Aunt B.
I think our journalistic integrity may be on the line.
Well, you know, we do put a little caveat at the end of the show that basically said we're making
nothing you're about to hear is true. And just in
correct.
Case you didn't hear that, we bookend it with nothing you just heard was true.
Right. Oh, man. So when did now? Right. I'm curious, because you when did you start reading the Hitchhiker's stuff?
I was trying to think about that, and I almost asked you during the show prep today. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, it'll be good pod.
Right.
If I bring it up. So I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgotten to bring it up. I don't remember. And I can't remember if you turned me on to it or if I discovered it on my own and we had both read it by the time we met. I can't remember.
Well, no, because I had read the original trilogy before the 11th grade. And I realize that's slow, but I read a lot of other books. But like we were in junior high, or what the kids today call middle school, and I went with you to the library and you, because you were doing research on something, and you know I didn't have a library card or nothing, and I had listened to I had seen a couple episodes of the TV show that the BBC had done, and I'm like, I just had this epiphany. I'm like, wait a second, I'm in a place where they might have that book. So
I'm in a place lots of books.
Yeah.
One of them might be that book.
I found it, and they also had the other two, but I only got Hitchhiker's Guide. And keep in mind, like I said, junior high. And I ran home, not literally, because that was like 8 miles. And I read it like in like 2 hours, and it was just so damn funny, because I had just started to discover like British humor, you know, from thanks to our pal Andy staying at his house all the time. I just discovered British humor and how funny it is, and
because Andy's mom's British,
it was
right?
Something totally different. Off the boat, British dude. Yes. I used to joke. She's like 130, and
she makes some good smelling hamburgers.
Yeah, she does. That woman could make some hamburgers like you wouldn't believe. But my joke is about like, because you know, like I said, she's an old gal, and my joke about old British women is like, you know, they're never gonna die because they're not afraid of anything because they survived the Blitz. What could possibly What teenage rant could your kid do that you could look at him and go, oh, this is worse than, you know, sleeping the night away underground while the Nazis were bombing the fuck out of our town, you know? So I think that plays a lot into hers and many other British women's longevity. But no, it was because of him that I started, because we watched Monty Python, obviously. And like I said, I read that book in like 2 hours and went back for the next one and the next one. But I was reading all kinds of other stuff. So it would have been like by 11th grade, I had done the original trilogy. And then I think, what was the So Long and Thanks for All the Fish? Was that the fourth one?
Yeah.
That was, when did that one come out?
So Long, the fourth one was, well, the second one was Restaurant at the End of the Universe. And then Life, the Universe, and Everything, and then So Long and Thanks for All the Fish.
So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, which came out, according to this, in 84?
84.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. We were freshmen, and I was a freshman. You were a sophomore in
high
school.
So then I'd read it. Okay,
in 1984.
Then I'm wrong, then.
Depending on your demographic, you just went, God, these guys are older. Oh, my God, they're babies.
Yeah, so then I sit corrected. I read them all before 11th grade. So I guess I read them rather rapidly. In any regard, yeah, I mean, I digress. So I don't know. When did you read them?
I, for the love of God, I can't remember.
Yeah, according to the Babelfish guy,
when I read them, yeah, right. Yeah, we got to cover that at some point, maybe after the break. But I can't. I don't know if you turned me on to it or if I. That's the part I can't remember, because the first one came out in 79, mm-hmm. when I was 10. You and I didn't meet till I was like 11.
Right.
So, but I don't think I did anything cool before I met you.
Oh well.
I'm kind of like that guy. There's this guy in Indianapolis who's like the punk rock maven of the Midwest. He goes by various names, but he's black and he has dreadlocks. And a buddy of mine said that, buddy of mine whose name is MP Cavalier, actually told me that he said one time, he's like in his 40s, and MP says to him, dude, I got you figured out. You believe nothing cool happened after 1979, and everything that cool happened before 1979 on the corner outside of CBGB. And dude looks at him and he goes, "Don't tell anybody, man." These kids love me. Do not tell them. But anyway, it's similar to that. I feel like I didn't do anything cool before I met you. And pause, look into each other's eyes, sigh.
Yes, that's right. Sigh.
I love you too.
You complete me, Steve.
So I totally believe that you, well, I know that you turned me on to Monty Python's Flying Circus.
You can thank Andy for
that. It was probably one of those nights. Thanks to Andy for a lot of things.
That's right.
It was probably one of those nights where we were sitting around watching on TV.
Right.
And by watching on TV, I mean watching the squiggly line.
Right.
That went down the center of the TV, and which was their version of scrambling the signal.
Yes.
And trying to, hoping that it would, that the planets would align and it would stop squiggling for 1 second at the same moment that somebody took their shirt
That's
off
right.
and showed their boob.
Right. In the show. I always liked how it was real quiet. So you're like right up against, because you get right up against the TV, you could hear voices. So you turn the TV up real loud, and then the announcement would come over, and Tate was scrambled, and like knock you back about 12 feet. Say, oh, how did I forget? Yeah. I do this every night.
And my parents are sleeping in the next room. They're sleeping behind a balsa wood hollow core door.
Right?
In the next room.
Well, it was honestly, so. it was probably life, I almost said life, the universe and everything. The meaning of life. We probably watched it on your satellite.
Get me a bucket. Sorry,
get monsieur a bucket.
I think that you're right. We got that satellite dish, which was huge.
Yeah.
And, well, was it then or was it, because on PBS, and which was Channel 11 right. back in the day.
Window to the world.
They played Benny Hill and Monty Python's Flying Circus, and about once every 200 episodes, they would show boobs.
Yeah, it always amazed me that they could do that. You know, it was like,
I thought it was. I mean, just think how easy boys today have it. I don't have boys, so I don't have to worry about this. But I know you have a boy.
Yes, and I don't have to worry about it either. He's still into Spider-Man and stuff like that. So,
well, when he is of that age, you know, you can do this thing where you're like, when I was your age, I had to watch a squiggly line for hours with my face up close to the TV.
Yeah.
Or I had to turn the satellite dish up so it was like a bird bath and try to get the Playboy channel.
I had to look at a static image in a sticky magazine I found in my brother's closet.
Oh God. I remember that. And didn't you also find a crusty sock?
I think I've said too much.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a wholly remarkable book. Perhaps the most remarkable, certainly the most successful book ever to come out of the great publishing corporations of Ursa Minor. More popular than the Celestial Home Care Omnibus, better selling than 53 More Things to Do in Zero Gravity, and more controversial than Ulon Kalufid's trilogy of philosophical blockbusters Where God Went Wrong, Some More of God's Greatest Mistakes, and Who Is This God Person Anyway? It's already supplanted the Encyclopedia Galactica as the standard repository of all knowledge and wisdom for two important reasons. First, it's slightly cheaper. And second, it has the words "Don't Panic" printed in large, friendly letters on its cover.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic podcast. Last we met, we were talking about the famous Douglas Adams, and the six-book trilogy, which is really only a five-book trilogy, because the sixth one was written by somebody who we don't know.
That's right.
Somehow we got off on the masturbation tangent, which I think is a record for the DP podcast. That's 2 weeks in a row we've talked about masturbation.
Clearly it doesn't take much. You know what's funny is I had a my oldest was writing a report, and we were talking about like creative writing and stuff, and she had she wasn't sure how long a chapter had to be, so I had to reference the one line chapter in So Long and Thanks for All the Fish.
Yeah.
Which was the announcement. Arthur was sitting in the airport. It's one sentence. I just remember thinking, you know, when I read that, I'm like, well, apparently I can write whatever the hell I want as a chapter.
So true. Well, if you read Kurt Vonnegut, I mean the oh, what's the one I've started recently that fuck. Another example of how we don't prepare.
That's what keeps it fresh.
It's Cat's Cradle, I believe. And, some of the chapters are... It's weird. It's hard to... I don't know. I think I have to be in the right mood to read Vonnegut.
Mm-hmm.
I actually believe I've listened to the audio version of Slaughterhouse-Five, which was awesome. I don't think I've read the reading version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my God, if anybody is like, oh, Vonnegut, he's a little bit inaccessible for me.
Yeah.
Get an audio version. I mean, I have no shame about audio versions because...
Just you know what? I do audio books on tape or whatever, books on, you know, audio files, whatever they call them these days. When the book is like 110 years old and people still want real money for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's written in an older style that's like just not. I mean, Dracula. By today's. Yeah. Ugh.
If you have not listened to Dracula audio version, oh my God. It's so great. That'd be Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Hey, you were telling me about that.
You remember that little fad when every movie was like the author's version?
Yes, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Like, yeah. Who else's Frankenstein is there?
Yeah, no, the worst offender though was Frankenstein. That book. What's so crazy about that is like, okay, the Mary Shelley was like what, 19 or 20 when she wrote that damn thing?
I don't know.
Somehow it
managed... Old enough to breed, old enough for me, that's what I say. Anyway, what?
When I think about... Okay, she wrote Frankenstein when she was 19 or 20 years old, and somehow it struck a chord and continues to be this huge, influential book. And, you know, story-wise and everything, it's fantastic. But it's almost unreadable. I thought about reading it backwards just to see if it actually is readable. It's just that bad. And then I'm thinking, well, yeah, that makes sense, because if I think about what I was writing when I was 19 and 20 years old,
yeah,
makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of my ideas were good, but they were just really poorly executed due to lack of experience. So I listened to Frankenstein because I was doing some research on it for a poem I was writing. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm reading this thing because I'll end up punching myself in the face. So I just went chapter by chapter till I found what I needed audio-wise and just listened to it that way.
So let me ask you this. What's
up?
So Frankenstein, I'm trying to remember... Did it start out with him being on a ship in the middle of the ocean?
Yes.
After all these years, I can finally admit to you that I tried to start reading. I tried to read that book, and I could not get through the first few chapters.
Oh, they were brutal. No, and actually, you had told me that decades ago. But no, yeah, no, you had brought that up, and I'm just like, yeah. And I had the same problem. But I think that's one of those books that like nobody wants to admit is like impossible to read.
Well, it's like me last week not wanting to admit that it. I wasn't a big Velvet Underground fan when I was young. But it's like it's the type of thing that I would like to be a big Velvet Underground fan.
Right. And speaking of Velvet Underground, I'm going to give a big shout out to my buddy Nick. For clarifying.
Havert?
Yeah, Nick Havert, for clarifying what Take a Walk on the Wild Side is all about.
Yeah. That's the kind of interaction I'm looking for.
And if you ever need anything explained about what songs were about between him and my brother from another dimension, Bill Wilkerson, they'll figure it out for you. Yeah. They're just like they're music scholars.
By the time this episode airs, I hope to have met Nick.
Yeah, he's awesome. That's been a couple of years in the making, so.
Yeah. So Dracula audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Trying to reconnect the threads.
Yeah, where were we?
You, Kurt Vonnegut. You were talking about one chapter being like a sentence, and your daughter writing a book. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was hoping to reconnect the thread. Who cares? The listeners don't remember what we were talking about. Why should we try? So, actually, speaking of Nick, and I just said I hope to have met him by then, the reason I said that, Comic-Con is in Indianapolis, as you are listening to this, unless you're lame and you're not listening until after Comic-Con is over, unless you're on RFI.fm, in which case, you're not lame. Because that's at 7 o'clock on Monday night.
Indiana Comic-Con, and it should be wrapping up today. Today being Sunday would be the last day. So today is the day to actually go in and get your deals. Because these guys don't want to pack this shit up. So go in and make a deal with them.
Did you go last year?
No, it's one of those shows that I've heard nothing but good things about. And it's a young show. So I hope to get in on it. But, you know, I couldn't this year.
Well, I'm glad that you have that you've heard good things about it, because I was talking to my buddy MP today about it, and today being Wednesday when we're in the studio, and he said he has tickets. He's going to take his boys there, which is awesome. I was thinking about taking the girls someday.
Oh, they'd love it. Yeah, they'd love it. I mean,
well, he said his boys like the swag that they get, because there's tons of swag, right?
Yep, most shows have stuff like that.
I don't know if last year was the first year, or was last year the first year?
I think this is probably year three. I'm not 100%, but it's, like I said, it's a very young show.
So I don't know if he's talking about last year or whatever the first year was. They didn't realize how big it would be. They reserved their space could hold 3,500 people. And they were turning people away on the first day because 10,000 people showed up.
Well,
and there was a line like around the block, and excuse me, that was on Saturday. Cut the burp out, because that's embarrassing. So on Saturday,
should I leave the part in where you tell me to cut the burp out and just cut the burp out, or should I just leave all this out?
Well, don't you cut out all the embarrassing parts, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So, he was there on he wasn't there on the Saturday, but he had heard about it. So he went on Sunday, and there were still like a couple hundred people in line. And he was funny because he's like, and you know, it's not like that crowd gets unruly. So he's like, so we didn't mind waiting in line. And then, you know, we got in, it was fine. Mm-hmm. And he said that the buzz was, and I don't know where the buzz is. If I ever figure out where the buzz is, I'll pay attention to it. I just can't figure out where that is. But he said the buzz was Indianapolis can't handle Comic-Con. And they were on top of it because he said by the time Sunday was done, they announced that they had reserved the convention center, enough space for, you know, however many thousands of people, mm-hmm. that next year we'll have plenty of space, it'll be fine. And I'm glad to hear that you've only heard good things because you're in the industry.
Right.
And if anybody's going to know what the buzz is, it's going to be you. I hate air quotes, even though I just did them.
And the audience can't see them.
They could hear them, though.
They
Nobody ever does air quotes without you being able to hear it.
I'll put in like some kung fu.
Pays to buy the best.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it.
Now the thing about this show that I've noticed is, I mean, go to their website and look at their media guests. Now, this is not like an old show. The show hasn't been around for more than a couple years. Their media guest list is, like, ridiculous. And that's why they've got such a heavy following. I mean, me personally, I don't get into the whole, like, I don't really want to meet celebrities so much, you know, movie-wise and whatnot. But it's not just that, because most shows where they focus on the media guests, like the movies and the TV and the people like that, they completely, the guys who are trying to sell their stuff get completely just swallowed up by that. I did one of the last shows I did, like I think it was last year, I did the Motor City show. And what was nuts about that was there were two or three actors who played Doctor Who and a couple of the characters from actors from The Walking Dead. As a result, that place was standing room only. And what, sure, that sounds great to, you know, to the uninitiated, but when you're trying to sell your books and there are people standing in lines that go all the way through the convention center, these people don't give a shit about what you're trying to sell. They want to meet what's the redneck guy from Walking Dead.
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl. They want to meet Daryl, or they want to meet
Rick.
Yeah, any of those guys. And it's just like, meanwhile, we suffer. We get clobbered, and those people didn't care. They were like, they would come out with bullhorns, and they'd be, people would be upset, and the people that run the show would be like, you know, go home if you're unhappy. Well, that's not very cool. They don't fucking care. But right. From what I gather from Nick about his experience last year with the show, and you know, he's small press. He did great, and they treated him really well. And that almost never happens. So on a show like this that seems to have a pretty good, I mean, this is the second year I've been paying attention to it, and the guest list, the media guest list is great, and the list of, like, indie guys who are putting out their own books is great. The list of people who are big industry guys in comic books is fantastic, and all this happened in a very short time. So, you know, I you know, sadly I couldn't make it this weekend, but you know, next year in Jerusalem, hopefully I'll make it to the next one.
So next year's Comic-Con, are you making that announcement right now that next year's Comic-Con is going to be in Jerusalem?
No, that's a yes, it's Jerusalem Comic-Con 2016.
Dechayim.
The Comic-Con.
Aquaman.
There goes our Jewish listener.
Our one John. Jewish listener.
Aquaman. That's ridiculous. That's Dude, ridiculous.
The last 10 minutes were great. And we will do a Comic-Con episode.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
So I'm going to run down there. Paul was going to be here for the Comic-Con, which is we record on Wednesday. He was going to be here this weekend, the 13th, Friday the 13th through Sunday the 15th.
Right.
And go to Comic-Con. We're going to party together. We're going to record a live episode. We're going to talk to his buddy, who's a cop, about, you know, perception of cophood and in the hood. And it was going to be great. And then got the word today, Paul's not going to be able to make it. So immediately in my head, the first thing I thought was, fuck.
Mine too, ironically.
The second thing in my head was, well, I already have, it's, by the way, it was not on the calendar. I forgot to put it on the calendar, which caused all kinds of
See, angst. That's the reason, because if you got to put it on the calendar to have it be a thing.
Exactly. But I thought, why not go and do some interviews? And my thought was the same as yours, that it would be hilarious because I'm not a comic book guy, but I'm interested in, you know, watching people and seeing people, and my best friend's a comic book guy and is in the industry, so I think I'll go down there and by the time Nick hears this, it'll be too late, but maybe, you know, I'll friend him on Facebook and I can let him know that I'd like to hook up with him and talk to him, and while he's in town, if he needs absolutely anything, I'll send him my cell phone number, and, you know, I'm here. I might be drunk, so I might not be able to drive, but I can grab Uber and get there in, you know, just a few minutes. And although That's since correct. He's a cop, he probably all he has to do is flash his badge, and his brothers in arms, his brothers in blue will help him out. But if he needs anything, he needs, you know, his hotel deal falls through and needs a place to lay his head or whatever, you know, any friend of Benjamin Netanyahu is a friend of mine, and your Jewish buddy Nick is welcome at my place anytime.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's one of the guys that I've only known, like, well, you say only known 10 years, but that's a long time. But it's like, had we would have all grown up together, and it's like, you know, we're all pretty much the same. He's a great guy, and he's worth checking out.
I just love the idea of a cop dressing up in a cosplay.
Right. And that's the other thing too. If you go on Saturdays are typically, and maybe I don't know how Indiana Comic Con works, but typically Saturdays are the big days for cosplayers.
Yes. That's what my buddy MP said.
Yes. So if you want to show your girls, you know, some pretty cool stuff. As far as, you know, because like my daughter wants, you know, she's dabbled in it and is going to be getting deeper into it. Take them there and let them see what people do. You know, there's like two groups of cosplayers. There's the cool ones and there's the douchebags. So you got to learn to separate the two. But overall, the cool ones are the ones you want to pay attention to, and you'll figure it out real quick because they're the ones that'll talk to you.
Which category do these sexy ones fall into?
My experience is the cool ones.
Nice.
Yeah.
So speaking of sexy, does your girlfriend do any cosplay stuff?
Kind of. We'll leave it at that. Kind of. She's kind of into cosplay. So.
That reminds me of a brief conversation I had today with an earshot of MP, actually. So the girl's talking about something. She threw out an acronym called M&S. M&S.
Okay.
And I said, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Usually people say it the other way around. And she looks at me and she just kind of nodded, like, yeah, I'm sure MP got it.
But, yeah.
So when you say cosplay, I say M&S, only the other way around.
Yeah. So our dyslexic friends are dying. They're just...
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I love dyslexic people. In fact, one of my best friends knows somebody who knows somebody who has a friend who is dyslexic.
You're progressive.
Dude, I'm totally liberal on this.
You're so progressive.
The dyslexic community has my total support.
That's right.
I want a bumper sticker that says, I know somebody who knows somebody who has a friend who's dyslexic, and I vote.
Yeah. But it's all backwards. I'll give you one final heads up on like when you do like Comic Cons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your time buying advanced tickets.
Really?
Because here's why. You might save a couple of bucks, but you are going to stand in a line. I've done Wizard World Chicago. Now, Wizard World Chicago is this big clusterfuck of a convention. It's fucking huge. And I remember one year, you know, I had advanced tickets, and I was standing there in a line that went around the fucking block. And I'm watching dudes walk by me and walk inside.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know, maybe they have advanced tickets. Advanced tickets. Well, what ended up happening was I found out that the next year I didn't get advanced tickets, went to it, walked in, there was nobody at the ticket booth, bought my ticket, and walked in. And these people are standing outside for like an hour and a half, you know, moving at a snail's pace to get in. So yeah, you might save $5, but do you want to like stand around for an hour and a half, or do you just want to walk in and do your thing?
I just want to walk in and do my thing.
Well, make sure that you know your thing is appropriate.
All right. I think that with that, I just want to fuck. All right, cut that part out.
Me too. But we're gonna have to wait till later.
I just want to fuck. Why has anybody made that song? I just want to fuck. So
we're gonna.
I was trying to segue into like
we're gonna
wrapping
make that
it up.
Song. We're gonna make that
to,
song.
I was trying to segue into the wrapping it up phase, but I couldn't. I'm trying to figure out a way to do that.
I'll cut out the dead air.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
No, seriously. If one or the other of us is getting humiliated, that's always staying in. But the dead air is getting cut out.
Well, I'm not sure if we've done our friend Douglas Adams proud or if we've embarrassed him. Either way, he's rolling over in his grave. Either not hearing or not talking. We're still not sure which one it is.
I think he would have enjoyed this.
Yeah.
You know, never having met the man, I think he would have enjoyed it.
I think you're right. Either way, stick around. If you're on RFI.fm, stick around for the Do It Indie Radio Hour. It's live. It's more professional. And my buddy MP Cavalier's on it. And you might hear a song you've never heard before. And as the great Douglas Adams once said, so long and thanks for all the fish. Don't you forget, nothing you just heard was true.
And don't panic. There's still time to save the universe.
Getting old and a bit rusty, and nobody liked him. One day, being very bored, he thought it would be a good idea to tidy up all his old programs in his dusty old data bank. There were tapes in there he hadn't played for years. Checking them through, he accidentally pushed a wrong button, and suddenly he heard,
Marvin, I love you. Marvin, I love you.
hadn't really been listening. What was worse, he couldn't remember what button he'd accidentally pressed. Anyway, he tried a few switches at random and suddenly... about it. Who was singing these strange words? Was it another robot or some strange life form from the distant past when he was a young robot and people still made the occasional attempt to like him? He couldn't make it out at all, so he pushed a few buttons again. Could play it whenever he wanted, think about what he'd miss, and live miserably ever after.